So here we are. We are 1 week away from the greatest day in history. We are 1 week away from the day that Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. We are 1 week away. We're 1 week out from Jesus, from the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It's the climax, y'all. How many of you know last Sunday was the climax? You watch these movies and it gets to this point and it's this climax and it's the big, and the volcano is about to erupt. It's this big moment the crescendo has built, and then boom, it's over. The high point, it's over. He rose from the dead. Victory's come. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is alive. But now what? Now what do we do? What do we do the other 364 days of the year? Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to many people after he had risen. Now he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. Mark chapter 16, verse number 19. I want to read you this scripture. Mark chapter 16, verse number 19. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Can I tell you that today, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. God the Father is on the throne. God the Father is on the throne. After Jesus rose from the dead, he hung around, visited with folks. He ascended to the right hand of God, and he is awaiting on the orders of God to come back and get his church at some point. Jesus is at the right hand of God. So these guys that are following Jesus, they're like, what's going on? Like, we followed you 3 years. Now they've arrested you. They've crucified you. You died on the cross. They buried you in the tomb. The stone was rolled away. You've appeared to us, and now you've left us again. What the heck is going on? And Jesus says to them, it's a good thing that I go away. It's a good thing I'm not going to leave you down here to live life without any power. I'm not going to leave you down here without any help. How many of you think, God, we have some help as we try to walk out our daily lives? How many of you would agree with me? I need some help every day, because some folk get on my nerves sometimes. And I love my wife. I love my wife. But I need some help walking out this marriage thing sometimes. And I love my kids, them two knuckleheaded boys and that sweet baby girl. But Lord Jesus, I need some help raising kids nowadays. Jesus said, I'm going to the right hand of the Father, but I'm not going to leave you without help. John 16:7. Here's what Jesus did. John 16:7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. How many of you know Jesus always speaks truth? Come on, y'all. Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, the helper being the Holy Spirit. But if I go away, I will send him to you. It's to our advantage that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. Now, how many of you know Jesus is God made flesh? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word took upon flesh, and he came and dwelt among us. Jesus took upon flesh, and he lived amongst us. But can I tell you, flesh is confined to gravity, and flesh is confined to the physicality of this world. Flesh can only be at one place at one time. Let me give you an example. Jesus had this friend named Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus had spent time in their homes. They were friends. They had cooked T-bones together. They had eaten together. They hung out. One time, Jesus was away on a preaching journey, and Lazarus got sick. Lazarus was so sick that Lazarus died, and Jesus got news, and Jesus showed up 4 days later. Lazarus has already been dead. And one of the sisters said to Jesus, if only you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus couldn't be in two places at one time. But Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away. When I go to heaven, I will send the Holy Spirit. How many of you know spirits are not confined to the physical body? How many of you know the Spirit of God can be moving at Sweetwater Bethel Assembly this morning? And the Spirit of God can be moving at Albany Bethel Assembly this morning? And the Spirit of God can be moving at Stanford Bethel Assembly? And the Spirit of God God can be moving here this morning in Anson. The Spirit of God is not confined to flesh. It's to your advantage and my advantage that everywhere we go, at home, at the workplace, on the job, the Spirit of God can go with us and help us and empower us. Jesus said, it's a good thing. So here we go. Jesus has risen from the dead. The Spirit of God has fallen. Now what happens? Here's what happens. The church as you and I know it today was formed right here in this moment. The church was formed. That's what I want to talk to you today about. We spent 12 weeks discussing home sweet home. We spent 12 weeks discussing how our home affected us and how important the home was. And we're going to spend about 6 weeks spending now the importance of our home sweet church home. We're going to talk about the importance of church, the importance of gathering together, the importance of worshiping together. The church as we knew it was formed. There was 120 followers left, 120. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. This 120, they go to Jerusalem, they gather in an upper room, and they're praying, and they're seeking God, and they're reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls. Peter gets up, and he preaches the Word of God, and 5,000 people get saved in one moment. Now, all of a sudden, from 120 to 5,120, the followers of Jesus have grown. What did they do? 5,100 people. What do we do? They said, we're going to gather together. We're going to hang out together. We're going to hang because we need each other. The 5,120 understood that they were better together than they were by themselves. And they came together. And the story of them coming together is in Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42 through 47. Here's what happened when they gathered to have church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and their belongings, and they were distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. 5,120 said, we're going to gather together. And you know what we're going to do when we gather together? They said, we're going to be devoted to the teaching of the apostles. We're going to be devoted to the Word of God. Can I tell you what makes a great home sweet church home? Can I tell you what makes a healthy church home? It is a church that preaches the Word of God, that is dedicated to the Word of God. They are devoted to following the Word of God. The Word of God is not a suggestion, but it is the focal point of their gathering together. How many of you know we need the Word of God? How many of you know our families would be better if we stuck to the Word of God? How many of you believe our nation would be better if we went back to following the Word of God? How many of you believe our education systems would be better if we imputed the Word of God in the teaching and the training of our young folks? Churches gathered together, and they said, first thing we're going to do is preach the Word of God. They preached the Word of God. And then it says this, they fellowshipped and they had food together. They hung out. They had friends. They fellowshipped. They ate food together and they prayed. How many of you know that if we want to have a good, healthy church, you got to be a praying church? You got to be a praying church. You got to pray. You got to pray. The church prayed. And then they supported one another. I love this aspect. I love this aspect. There were people in this 5,120. Some of them had needs. Some of them were poor. Some of them had lost their jobs. Some of them were disabled, and everybody was looking out for everyone else. They weren't consumed with themselves and what they could get and what they were going to get benefit. They looked out and they said, oh, they have needs, and everyone gave. They gave money. They gave efforts. They gave energy. They gave it all, and they started helping everybody that was in need. And then they were praising God and worshiping God. How many of you thank God for our praise and worship team. Come on, somebody. I mean, like, we got some talent over here, y'all. Yeah, yeah. You better clap, because if you don't clap, you don't know what it's like to have a cappella worship over here with me leading worship. You have no idea. Like we're so blessed with these guys. Praise and worship is a part of the church, worshiping God together. And you know what? It doesn't matter if it's the Baptist way or the hymnal way or the Church of Christ a cappella way or our way. It's just when we come together and we lift up and worship the name of Jesus Christ. Can I give the worship team just a little bit of plug right quick? Can I tell you something today? I guarantee you the last thing that Connor and this worship team want is that they do not want to be seen as Parker McCollum. They do not want to be seen as Outlaws and Legends, just a concert. They don't want you to come and watch them and go, oh, Tubby on that fiddle, and oh, Connor on that deal. They don't want to for you to watch them. What they want to do is they want to lead you in worship because they understand the power of worship. They don't want you just to listen to them sing. They want you to open up your mouth and to sing those songs. They want you to clap your hands because they know the power of praise and worship. They want to encourage you to worship God. I love this. They came together and they attended church. Can I just say this right quick? They attended church back in the day, every day. Day by day, day after day. Some of you knuckleheads won't even come regular on a Sunday to church. Back in the day, they came to church, and so the word of God and fellowship and food and praying and supporting one another in praise and worship. You know what the result of that is? A good church that is healthy and a church that is growing. That's what happened. Healthy churches. Can I tell you something? Home sweet home. Can I just tell you right quick? A home sweet church home, a healthy church home will always be a church that grows. They grow spiritually, they grow physically, and they grow numerically. If we do it the way that God has laid out in the Word of God, it will always grow, and people will always be getting saved, and it will always be crowded in the sanctuary, and it will always be hot, and it will always be uncomfortable, but nobody cares because we're growing in the kingdom of God, and that's what it's all about, reaching lost and hurting people. Church, I love church. I love church. I love coming to church. I love it when my daughter says to me, Cody, Daddy, I can't wait till tomorrow on Saturday. She says, I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm like, what's tomorrow, babe? She goes, we get to go to church. I love that. I love church. I am better off because of you guys in my church family. I'm better off. You're better off because of our church. It has always been God's plan for people to gather in the name of the Lord. Let me give you a couple of examples from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 31, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Since the fifth book of the Bible, it has been God's plan for his people to come together and unify and worship him. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12 through 13. Assemble the people, men, women, and the little ones, and the sojourners, the ones that are far off, that they may hear and they may learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. God said, bring the men, bring the women, bring the little ones. Y'all come together. You learn to fear the Lord. You learn to honor God. And see, I want you to see this. I want you to see, because God said bring the family unit together, and the family unit should raise up children in church knowing the fear of God and knowing the commandments of God. That way, it is a multi-generational movement of God that will always stand for the kingdom of God. It's the family's responsibility to bring their kids to church and raise them up in the church. New Testament, Matthew 18, 20. New Testament, Matthew 18, 20, Jesus' words. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. How many are glad that the Lord is here today? Like, I'm glad you're here, but I'm really more glad the Lord is here today. Because I need the Lord here today. Home sweet church, Home. We just spent 12 weeks discussing the importance of home. Home life matters. How our home life affected us. How it has shaped our opinions and ideas. How it is continually affecting us. Our home life matters. Much like our physical home, our church home matters as well. Can I hear a good amen? Our church home matters. It matters. Our church should be affecting us, and it should continue to affect us. Our churches should be a place where the Spirit of God is moving. Our church should be a place where we are freely worshiping God. Our church should be a place where we're praying and awe and wonder and miracles and signs. Our church should be a place where it quickens our spirit and we're motivated to go into the world, where we're motivated to read the Word of God. Our church should be affecting our lives daily. Much like our physical homes, we were born into a family. How many will agree with the family that I was born into wasn't always perfect? Can I hear a good amen? The family I was born into, some of you had functional families, some of you had dysfunctional families. Some of you came from big families, and some of you came from small families. Some of you had really quiet families. Some of you had really loud families. Some of you had serious families. Some of you had fun families. Nonetheless, it was your home. You were thankful for your home. And within your home, you had some different personalities, and you had some different genders, and you had some different opinions, and you had some different ages and different ideas. But in our homes, everyone had to learn how to get along together. Everyone had to learn how to forgive and forget. Everyone had to learn how to show grace. Everyone had to learn to apologize and humble yourself. And everyone had to learn to love one another in spite of their faults and failures in order to keep a home sweet home. In that home, everybody had responsibilities. How many of you know a healthy home, sweet home, everybody has responsibilities. If you have children, teach your children responsibility. If you have grandchildren, teach your grandchildren responsibility. Teach them to take out the trash. Teach them to work in the yard. Teach them to help pick up after themselves. We have got to teach and train responsibility so that everyone can help their part in the overall good. Some of us in our homes, we had some good experiences, and some of us had some bad experiences. Some things went wrong in your home, and some things went wrong in my home. But here's the deal. When I was 10 years old and things went wrong in my home, and my mom and daddy didn't do what I wanted to do, and when I was 10 years old and I got my feelings hurt and I got offended and I got mad and I got upset, you know what I didn't get to do? I didn't get to run away from my home. I had to stay there and stick it out and learn to overcome. And can I just tell you something? We're talking about home sweet home, and we're talking about home sweet church home. Can I tell you our church home matters? And can I tell you that you know what? When you get born again into the kingdom of God, you're born of the Spirit. And now you have this spiritual family. We're brothers and sisters. We're all a part of the family of God. And can I tell you something? Once we get saved and we're born again, we should want to be a part of a family of God, a spiritual family. And can I tell you, some spiritual families, some churches are functional and some of them are dysfunctional. Come on, somebody. Some of them are small. Some of them are large. Some of them are quiet. Some of them are loud. Some churches are more serious. Some churches are more celebratory. But in a church, in the beginning, there were 5,120. And within that church, there were different personalities. There were different opinions. There were different genders. There were different ages. And some people didn't always get it right. And the pastor probably made some mistakes. Not everything was good. But in that group and in that church, everybody had to learn to get along. And everybody had to learn to forgive and forget. And everybody had to learn how to show grace and to apologize once in a while and to walk in humility, and everybody had to learn how to love and come together to commit to the greater good of that home sweet home. It's the same with our church. And you know what? Within our church, can I tell you something? Can I be real with y'all? Just like our homes, when we start getting part of a home sweet home, everybody has responsibilities in our home. Everybody should have responsibilities in the church too, in your spiritual home. Everybody should. This idea that you just get to come to church for the rest of your life and sit and do nothing and not serve, it is fallacy and it is a lie. If Jesus saved us and touched us and forgave us, we can come as a little child and we're born in the kingdom of God. When I was a child, I thought like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. If you're mature in your faith and you've been coming to church for a long time, I'm going to tell you what will take you to the next level is when you accept your responsibility in making the church what it is, and you begin to serve in that church. Serve in the coffee bar. Serve in the greeting. Serve somewhere on the IT. Serve in the worship. Serve. Everybody has to start serving at some point. It's what makes a home sweet home. I am thankful for our church. Our church is not perfect. And can I tell you something? If you got offended at church, can I say to you as the pastor and the leader, I'm sorry you got offended. Can I say to you, if I didn't get to visit you at the hospital and you got upset, I'm sorry. Can I tell you, if you didn't get a letter from the elders or somebody didn't hug your neck or somebody didn't talk to you or we made a decision you didn't like, can I tell you that I'm sorry? Like, for real, like, we don't do church because we have intentions of trying to hurt you and upset you. But we're humans and we're confined to the flesh and sometimes we miss it. And so you know what? I would ask you, you know what? When you were going to the bar and somebody hurt your feelings, did you get mad and quit going to the bar or did you show up next Saturday night? Or when you went to your kid's football game and somebody upset you and the referee made a bad call, did you quit going to the football games or did you show up the next night? Just recognize and realize if God has brought you to a church home, God has brought you there, and it is never, ever going to be perfect, and your pastor and the leadership is going to make some mistakes. But you know what? Do not take the bait of Satan and do not say, I'm going to go somewhere else because it's not happening like I like it here at this church. Can I just be honest with you about that? Can I tell you? Let me tell you right quick. I am not telling you that God never calls people to another church. I'm not telling you that. Maybe God does. But here's what I will tell you. God will never call you to leave a church in the middle of a turmoil or in the middle of you being offended and being raw hurt. If God's going to call you somewhere else, he will call you when everything is going good. And he will say to you, I want to use you somewhere else. Home sweet home. Church edition. Church is powerful. We're better off because of the church. We need, you know what we need? We need a weekly time dedicated to the Lord. This is Sunday morning. I'm going to church. I'm going to focus on God today. Because how many of you would be like me? If it weren't for Sunday morning, I would get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, and it would be work, 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 and I would forget to stop and dedicate some time to God. We need church. We need to worship together. I know you can worship. I know you can ride a horse. I know you cowboys tell me all the time, I just worship God riding my horse across the pasture seeing newborn calves born. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all good, but there's something special about when you come together to worship God together. We need that time. We need to hear the word of God. We need to see each other. How many of you love to see your friends at church, y'all? Like, it does me some good to see you, James. It does me some good to see the Hartmans. It does me some good to see you, Alex. It does me some good to see you, Briley, because I see God working in you. And when I see God working in you, it encourages me that he can work in my life as well. It does me some good to see you and to see God moving. It does good to come to church and serve. It's good for all of us to just come to a godly atmosphere. How many of you live in a hostile atmosphere? Come on, somebody. Or you work in a hostile atmosphere. Or TV and the news and your job and people and school. It's good to just come to an atmosphere where I'm going to get encouraged, where I'm going to hear the word of God, where the Spirit, it's good for us. We need church. Let me tell you a quick story. No, I'm not going to tell you this story. I'll save it for next week. Church, we're better off. Church changed my life. That's why I love church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I'll close with this scripture. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider how to stir up someone else. Can we be honest and say that we live in a world where we are looking for something to stir us up? Does that church stir me? Does that movie stir me? Does that activity stir me? And when we grow up, we come to this place where we go, I'm going to gather. And as we gather, I'm going to look to stir somebody else up. I'm going to look to encourage somebody else. I'm going to look to raise somebody else up. It's a game changer when we make that swap. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together as some, the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Not neglecting gathering together. Can I just say this? I love online church. It is so good, man. If you are out of town, if you're on vacation, if something comes up, you can still tune in. And we have so many friends and we have so many people that we don't even know that we hear from. And it's so encouraging because they watch us online. But can I tell you something and make a statement? Online church is not a substitute for regular attending a church body of believers. Come together. And some are neglecting it right now. They're not coming to church. They're not coming to church for whatever reason. We should come together to encouraging one another all the more as the second coming of Jesus Christ gets closer. Now, I'm no student of prophecy, and I don't know when Jesus is coming back, nor does anyone else. But I know this, we're one day closer right now to Jesus coming back than we've ever been before. As that day comes, the Bible tells us, as the second coming of Christ approaches, things will get darker and meaner and more evil and worse. And I don't know about you, I'm only 51 years old. But as I look at America and the world that I live in right now, it's more evil and dark right now than it's ever been in my entire life. So why would we not want to come together? Why would we want to neglect ourselves and our family and our children and our spouse? Why would we not want to come together with like believers and say, I'm going to worship God and I'm going to pray and I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to get over being upset. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to hear the word of God. I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go do the work of the kingdom of God. Because I need you and you need me. Now I'm almost done. How many of you sometimes have just a sucky week? Can I hear a good amen? And sometimes you just need to come to church in the middle of the suck. Because guess what? Somebody else has had a good week. And when you come and your week is sucky, just come and receive. Because I'm telling you, the Lord will raise you up and encourage you. But you know what? The next week, you might have a good week. But guess what? Somebody else might have had a sucky week. So if you have a good week, show up at church with a smile on your face and say, what can I do to stir somebody else up? What can I do to encourage somebody else? I am thankful for our church. We are better off when we belong to, when we are dedicated to, when we attend, when we participate, and when we prioritize church. Conrad and worship team, come help me, please. It's our home sweet spiritual home. We're going to be discussing over the next few weeks church. We're going to be discussing what church is all about. We're going to be discussing with you the theories on why we do church the way we do church. We're going to look to the Word of God. Today, I tell you what we're going to do in closing. The book of Acts says when the church was birthed, they worshiped, they prayed, they read the Word of God. They fellowshipped and they ate. And I've seen most of you eating donuts this morning, so that counts. And then it says this, they broke bread together. So we're going to break bread together today. We're going to celebrate communion. Same night when Jesus was betrayed, they ate some bread and they drank some wine. And Jesus said, it's not just regular bread and regular wine. He said, this bread, it's my body. It's my body broken for you. Let me thank God for the broken body of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by the stripes he took, we are healed. They broke bread together. After they'd eaten the bread, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. This is my blood, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And Jesus said, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. This today, I wanted us to celebrate as a family. Without this, can I tell you something? Look at me, look. Without this, you got no hope. You're drifting at sea. You're sinking sand. You got nothing. But with this, we're children of God, born again, washed in the blood, born of the Spirit. We've been adopted in the family. We have one Father. We're brothers and sisters. This unifies us. So today we're going to celebrate communion. I want to encourage you today, because I don't know all of you, this is what we call open communion. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to have even ever been here before. The only stipulation to celebrating today is that you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray in a minute. Those guys that are going to help serve, if you'll come on down and prepare your side. It's going to be a little, I know it's a little awkward. We're going to have to kind of split this in the middle. Start at the back, come down. I'll hand you a piece of bread. Nathan will be holding the wine. You can make your way around. We get y'all out of the way. Then the back here can come down, serve, and then this can serve. Just be patient and be cooperative as we celebrate today. We want everybody to get to celebrate. But I pray that this speaks to you. That it reminds us of what Christ did. It reminds us we're family. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's our hope, God. It's everything for us, Lord. And we thank you for this church body. We thank you for this church family that you've brought us to, that you've called us to. Lord, thank you for this church. It's not a perfect church, but it's our church, and we love our church, and we're going to defend our church, and we're going to stand up for our church, and we're going to be dedicated to this church, Lord, because we know that when we gather together in your name, that you show up, God, and we need you. So, Lord, I pray that you would heal hearts, you would mend relationships. Lord, I pray that you would draw us together and unify us under the blood of Jesus Christ today, because that's what it's all about. Speak to us. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I'm going to, you come down, I'll give you a piece of bread. Somebody will give you a piece of bread. Say, the body of Christ broken for you. You step over, dunk it in the wine, and then you can eat it today. The table is set. Would encourage you guys right here. Let's start with y'all, and let's worship through communion.
Every hour, see.